Many years ago, a little boy went to church. He was about 7 years old. Kneeling down at the altar rail, waiting for communion, he heard a voice. And the voice was so full of authority, so well, that he instinctively knew it was God. And the voice said, "You are forgiven. You are forgiven." After church, the little boy went outside expecting everybody to talk about the voice, and nobody was talking about it. And he realized it was something that had only happened to him. And he was too shy to tell everyone about it. But that voice shaped him. And through twists and turns, eventually he would become a priest. Someone who grants people God's forgiveness through the confession. That little boy would grow up to be Father Allen. And he writes about it in the little article in your bulletin. You are forgiven. What does that really mean? What is forgiveness? What does it mean when God asks us to forgive other people or to forgive ourselves? What is forgiveness? Many of you have heard me say that I believe you and I were designed for Eden. What that means is that God originally created humanity for the purpose of living in harmony with God, with peace and joy, which is why whenever something happens to you when you suffer, it's not only hard because of the pain, it also feels somehow wrong. And we wonder, why is this happening? What did I do wrong? Is God angry at me? And the reason we struggle in this way is because we were not designed for brokenness. We were originally designed to live in wholeness and harmony and freedom with God. And this is why when someone wrongs you or deeply hurts you, it throws us, all of us, into a kind of chaos. We don't know how to manage it when someone hurts us. It throws us into all kinds of emotions, from anger to resentment, wanting revenge, self-pity, self-loathing, depression. All of these feelings, they swirl around us like a storm, and we don't know how to break free. We can become enslaved to the brokenness that happens when we're wounded, especially unjustly, especially when it's not fair. And how are we to break free? That's what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is a way back to God. Forgiveness is a path to finding peace and freedom and joy. In the book of Exodus, we heard this morning one of the oldest stories of the Hebrew Scriptures, a story that most of you know, I'm sure, very well, about how the Hebrew slaves were in bondage in Egypt, and how in order to get out of bondage, they had to trust in God, even when it didn't make sense. And they had to trust in God's messenger, Moses. And Moses gets them to the edge of the sea, where they are faced with the impossible. There it is, all the chaos of the waters. And there is no way to cross. And God says to Moses, take your staff, point it at the sea, and the waters miraculously are parted. And the Hebrew people walk through the chaos of the water on dry ground, and they make it to the other side. And then the waters close back in over the Egyptian soldiers and charioteers. And that is an image that I want you to picture when you think about what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness is finding a way to part the waters of resentment and anger and injustice and revenge and find a way from slavery into freedom. Because, my friends, if we can't forgive, we actually live in bondage. We live in reactivity, where we are only reacting and thinking about what if, and if only I hadn't been hurt back then, if only this hadn't happened to me, if only that, then I would be happy, then I would be better, then I could make choices. If we do not find a way to let go and move through the things that have hurt us, we will carry them with us, and they will define us and drag us down. Forgiveness is not about the one who wrongs you. It's about you. It's about your relationship with God. We all live through this terrible storm, and I'm so glad to see you, by the way. Think about Irma with me for a minute. When the hurricane actually hit, we had to be quiet, right? We had to find safe shelter and let the devastation happen. After it was over, that was when the work really began. We had to start cleaning up. People were putting branches and leaves and wood from their docks and wet furniture and flooring out on the streets, right? And it's still a mess, and it's going to take us days and weeks and months to restore this city. Such is the process of forgiveness. When you're wronged, it creates a lot of chaos in your life. And you have to work to move through and clean up and let go of all of the damage. And it is essential that we learn to do this. Now, Peter comes to Jesus in the gospel and he says, Lord, how many times should I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus says, not seven, but 77. When I was younger, I used to think that meant that if someone treated me badly, I was supposed to go back to them 77 times and let them treat me badly again and again and again. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Remember, there's another passage where Jesus gives us a very detailed prescription for what to do if someone is wronging you. You're to go and tell them, and then you're to go and tell them with someone else, and then you're to tell it in front of the church, and you're to go through this whole process, and if the person doesn't repent, you are to shake the dust off your feet. End the relationship. But you still have to forgive. But you don't keep going back for more. Forgiveness is not about you being a doormat or a punching bag. Forgiveness is about us learning to be free. Sometimes we have to forgive over and over and over again the same person for the same act. Each day we have to wake up and forgive again and let go of our anger again and let go of our resentment again and our self-pity again and let it go again and again. Sometimes it takes years to forgive. It's a practice. When someone dies, grieving is a process of forgiveness. Because we have to say goodbye to let go. There are many kinds of forgiveness. Many, many kinds. Jesus also goes on to give us a parable about a lord whose servant owes him. And he forgives the servant, but the servant also has someone else who owes him money. And so that servant will not forgive the one who is in debt to him. And as a result, the Lord can't forgive the servant. In other words, your capacity to forgive has everything to do with your relationship with God. How can God bring you home when you are clinging to all your resentments? It's as if the Hebrew people got stuck in the mud on the way through the sea and were so dragged down that they couldn't make it through. We as Christians have to practice the art of forgiveness, not for the people that have wronged us, but for our own selves, so that we can be free to say yes to God. How can we accept God's invitation when we are in chains, when we are carrying burdens? I don't know about you, but sometimes the hardest person to forgive is myself. Some days I can't believe the stupid things that I do, the ways that I fail my loved ones, or you. And we have to let go of that too. We have to forgive not only those who wrong us, but also how we wrong other people. We do this over and over and over again. Not 7 times, but 77 times. But you know what the great gift is? That every single day when you wake up, God has given you a clean slate, a blank canvas. God has forgiven you. It's all done. All you can say to yourself, I'm a new person. I can try again. Every day is an opportunity to become the fullness of who God wants you to be, to learn from our mistakes. And when those waves, when that storm of anger or resentment or self-pity comes crashing back upon you, let it go. Write it out, speak it aloud, talk to someone, pray, go for a run, whatever it takes to move through the chaos back to freedom. That, my friends, is the art and practice of forgiveness, and it is essential for us to become who we truly are. Amen.